Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
The smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, brother?
What's going on? No, just another...
Worst day of the week.
It is.
I got Tuesday as a 7th seed. Warriors were a 7th seed.
Somebody argue with me with regard to Tuesday. Does anybody like Tuesday? Like, I'm... yay. Every day is a good day.
Yep.
We're here.
I'm thrilled
to be here talking with you.
Happy to be doing it with you.
But I'm looking forward to tomorrow and Thursday and Friday more.
And you think about an October Tuesday, I guess that's the start of Maction, where Ball State will take on one of those directional Illinois and or a directional Michigan, and that's at least something. But yeah, Tuesday, you can go ahead and hashtag be better. Be better Tuesday.
Yeah. I mean, even Wednesday now, Moonlight's with NFL games, at least when it's on Christmas. Friday's going to have a bunch of NFL games. Saturday's got college football. We know about Sunday, Monday, Thursday, Tuesday. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what are you offering
us? What do you bring to the table
Seriously,
Tuesday?
Like, do something.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know what it is, but something. Do something.
You're kind of like a swing tackle on an NFL team. Like, if we really need you, we'll go to you, but we don't want to.
Yeah.
You're Tuesday.
Exactly. All right, 888-957-9570. This one's for you, y'all. Okay? Like, we'd really love to hear from you on this because we figured maybe this would be a way to totally broaden the conversation. Everything from, right, we had Mike Sando on yesterday with the quarterback tiers, and actually we want to play a little bit with wide receiver tiers later today because D'Amador Lenore will tell you he's ready to take on all comers and be the best corner in the league and all that. So let's take a little bit of a look at the wide receivers that he's going to be following around. But what about this? Used to do this back in college, and if you've been part of a group or anything like that that meets on a weekly or monthly basis, sometimes they do this. Have you ever done roses and thorns before?
Oh, yeah.
You've done this?
Yeah.
Okay. You go around the room, and everybody has to give you a rose and a thorn. And I love this because you know my way of, like, sometimes overly positive thinking. But so it forces me to come up with a thorn, but then the whole room doesn't just become thorns. Let's also have a rose. Like, maybe Tuesday is your thorn, but boy, I give a rose because Thursday is only 48 hours.
And Thursday is your rose.
Yeah, boy. You know what I mean? So this is a way to open up the 49er conversation in any damn direction you all want to go. So we will take your calls right now, 888-957-9570. You can text us on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Our YouTube chat is firing away, coming out of the crossover and all of its activity. So fire away, 888-957-9570. What rose do you have for the Niners, and what thorn do you have? And we can help you understand what we mean by that by maybe giving you ours. So it can be anything.
Yeah.
What is it that you feel really good about with the Niners, and what's one thing that you don't feel really good about? Roses and thorns. I have my rose for Robert Saleh. Robert Saleh's presence, Robert Saleh's return, him working with new young players, him sort of coming up with a scheme that's going to fool all of the tier three quarterbacks that they're going to be playing this year. I feel good about that. I think there will be bumps and bruises and a learning curve and all of that with some of the players, but that's where my rose goes. I feel very good about Robert Saleh in charge on the defensive side of the ball this year.
It's great, especially when you have a super young defense like it looks like they're going to have. And I know he spoke today about a couple of the rookies and how they might slot in. We'll get to that sound later in the show, and it'll probably be later in the season. But he's the perfect guy, in my opinion, to lead a younger defense. My rose is a little bit of a different one, and the 49ers had very little to do with it other than sucking last year, and my rose is their schedule. Because even as you go through with a young defense and offensive question marks or whatever you want to look at for the Niners as shortcomings, their schedule, for me, is the brightest, reddest, most fragrant rose of all, because you've got some teams that probably won't be great. Everyone's allowed to be better than you think, but early on you've got the Saints and the Jaguars in two of the first four. So if it is a slow ramp up when you're trying to find out who you have and what action, even if you fall in Seattle, which is possible, and you lose to a Ram team, that's a game you're going to probably be an underdog in. You beat the other two, you're 2-2, and you're still trying to find your way, but you're not facing the same schedule you did last year. So my rose is the schedule and what it might be able to do for the Niners, not necessarily being awesome in September.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, that's a good one. We have all of these question marks, but if you really kind of think about once they dive into this schedule, it will probably always feel like, oh, maybe you're only a week away from getting this thing right. You know, because a win changes everything. Even if you're still not in the greatest spot in the standings, I think that each week the Niners are going to wake up from whatever just happened, whether it was a win or a disappointing loss, they'll wake up and they'll look at what's coming up 6 days or 4 days away or whatever. They'll look at it and go, okay, we can do that one. We got a shot, and they won't win them all. But I think that there's no game that I feel like sits there on the schedule where you're like, oh, hell.
Terrified.
Yeah, like I don't want Josh Allen on a Sunday night or anything like that. Like they just don't have that this year. Everything's going to feel winnable.
Four of the last six at home, and among those six, you've got Carolina here, Tennessee here, at Cleveland, at Indy, Chicago here. So even if you are six games to go and you're sitting at, that'd be, you know, even if you're 5-6 at that point, you've got those six remaining. You could go on a 5-1 heater and wind up 10-7 and maybe still make a run for the playoffs. I do think that this team is likely to be better performing in the second half than the first half if they have this many younger players.
All right, you got a thorn?
My thorn, and this is a little bit of a, it's kind of a predictable one, but it's the injury bug, and primarily at receiver and running back. That's my thorn, because I'm really, really concerned about the receiver room, where Juwan Jennings has a calf and a contract. Is it calf? Is it cash? Which one is it more of a factor of? Well, it doesn't matter. He's not playing. And you've got Cowing, who I believe returned today. Good news. Ayuk out until at least week six. I'm concerned about the running back depth. Garendo has been injured, and you know, James with a broken finger. So my thorn is skill position players injuries.
Okay, well,
SPPI.
I guess on some level, my thorn could be extended into what you're talking about. Mine's a little bit more like, you know, finely tuned as far as its focus, but what you're talking about is a part of it. My thorn goes to the Jordan Mason trade. How much better would you feel right now if Jordan Mason were still on the squad? Yeah, me too. And
do you remember what they got for him?
I it right here in front of me.
I'm glad I asked you that.
Yeah, so they swapped fifth and sixth round picks in the draft that has already taken place, and then they got an additional sixth rounder next year. That's what they got. Now, the bigger part of this also, understand, as is the case with everything in life, money is involved in this, and Jordan needed a new contract, and the Vikings did sign Mason to a two-year, $12 million deal, $7 million guaranteed. That sounds like chump change in the NFL. To a degree, it is. I'm not a capologist. Kyle Shanahan was interesting yesterday when he talked a lot about the need for another receiver, and should they sign Amari Cooper or Gabe Davis? And it's like we keep hearing this stat. It's like, oh, the Niners are among the teams with the most salary cap space in the NFL right now. And he's like, it's a little misleading. Like, yes, we do. However, we do, but that doesn't include major payments that are going to be due to players in the season, number one. And number two, they want to roll as much of that cap space over as possible because next year they're not in as fancy of a cap space situation and they need to keep that. So they don't want to spend it. And do you want to spend a certain amount of cap space on a backup running back when you feel like your starter is maybe your best player and is going to be healthy? And your last name's Shanahan, which means you've always found a way to get production from the running back room, no matter who the hell's back there. Why not just grab Jeff Wilson off the street, for example, and let him back up Christian McCaffrey, as opposed to getting Jordan Mason? And you might feel like your production could end up being pretty similar. So I get it. I'm not saying that they made a terrible financial move. I just really liked the kid, and I wish he was still on the team. That's it. So that's my thorn. I wish Jordan Mason was still here.
That's a great one, and it just kind of underscores what we were arguing about all last year, the notion of Super Bowl or bust. And on my drive in today, I was thinking about all the players, real players that actually played who have left, which reminds me of how it was a busted-up scenario. And so this year for me is not a Super Bowl or bust. This year is more like what you talk about, Super Bowl or try again, because you've got so many young guys that you largely will be intact next year as opposed to last year. And Jordan Mason is a great example of somebody who you didn't dislike, but you really couldn't afford him. You didn't want to pay him $12 million to have 80 carries this year. If McCaffrey stays healthy, it makes no sense.
Right. I totally get it. Just bummed about it.
Yep.
So, all right, your turn. Let's go line them up. And Theo and Rick, we see you. Here we come. 888-957-9570. We're going to dive straight into your calls coming up next. What's your rose for the 49ers? What's your thorn for the 49ers? 888-957-9570 is the number. Do you want to win a pair of tickets Saturday, August 15th? The Rays and Giants this weekend at Oracle Park. All fans can enjoy a City Connect concert featuring Saweetie following the game. And we're giving away a couple pairs of tickets today, courtesy of Levi's, one pair in the 3 o'clock hour, the other in the 4 o'clock hour. So for now, just keep listening. Remember, you can always buy your tickets at sfgiants.com. We're also sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. And then I also want to give 10 seconds to the Valkyries. We'll talk about you guys a little bit later on in the show. Nice W last night.
Yeah.
Got a winning record. You've moved up to the 7th seed in the playoff chase. You got yourself a new mascot that hatched. Okay, Valks. We see you.
It hatched.
Yeah, it did.
I know.
It hatched.
Pretty awesome mascot, too.
All right. Your call's next on whether
possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes, and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
And dips. I mean, I usually end the show by saying, shoot your shot, it's all you got. Grandy did it early.
Like,
as soon as we were talking about this early, he's like, I'm going to fire that song. And you did it right away. At a babe, Grandy.
I like it.
At a babe.
I'm closing my eyes and picturing the Grandys, his mom and dad, in some sort of a slow dance situation back in the late 80s, early 90s, and Poison comes on. Every rose has its thorn, and sometime later, various Grandy children are born.
Are you insinuating that this song led to Grandy?
You know what that is, right?
I guess it would be an insinuation.
I'm uncomfortable.
Sensation. Yes.
Yeah, but no.
It also would be an insemination sensation,
right,
potentially.
With you, like, it's amazing that that's where your mind
we're
went.
We're done here.
Like, I mean, this song is on, and that's where your mind went?
I just looked up the year because I thought it was earlier. I thought it was my high school, but it was 88. My college, your junior high, most likely.
88? Yeah, 13.
October, so. Yeah. I just remember the power ballad of the 80s, and that's among the
there
great ones.
Yeah.
And I thought about 37 years ago, and Grandy's 29, so A led to B, B led to C, and here we are.
Maybe.
Awkward.
Yeah, definitely. So pivot.
Sure.
Yeah, no, Grandy and Lucas have, I think you guys have some roses and thorns too. We'll let you unload on those in a little bit. But 888-957-9570, we'd really love to hear from you. What's your rose? What's your thorn for the 49ers right now as this thing gets started? Candlestick, Rick, San Bruno, you're going to lead us off. Hey, Rick, thanks for calling. Hey, what you doing?
Hey, what up, fellas? Good to hear from you. I'm chilling right now, just cleaning up the house, but I wanted to chime in on this whole rose and thorn deal. And shout out to Grandy's parents, his conception at the Poison concert, I think it was.
Yeah.
I mean, Grandy, was it actually at the show, or was it after, or?
I'm not answering any of these questions.
Monsters of Rock, 95, I think Dokken was a part of it, maybe early Ozzy, late Black Sabbath.
At a concert? Have you ever?
I mean, after.
Have you ever at a concert?
Nah, not at a concert.
I had a buddy who was propositioned. I'm not kidding.
It happens, fellas.
Yeah, it happened.
Oh, yeah.
He was propositioned. He said no and then saw her and someone else under a hoodie about a half hour later.
Right. Because you know what she did, right? Pivot! She also had to pivot.
Let's move on. Rick, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about that, fellas. We went off the rails a bit.
No, it's totally Dibs' fault, but go ahead.
Let's paint a little picture here. So you got a beautiful rose in your hand. You're sitting in the sun, and there's petals on it. The petals are blooming. I would say some of those blooming petals would hopefully be the new draft picks that we got, you know, our defensive line pickups. You know, I think those guys could possibly be some blooming petals on that rose. And hopefully, is there any way, I mean, the receiving core, like Dib said, might be a thorn, but can we just get one of those surprise guys? Can Tariq Owens just be a Puka Nacua? Or, like, why can't we just get a young fella to just pop like that?
Well,
be Puka.
We don't know that they won't. You know, the Jordan Watkins thing, he would actually have been the candidate for that. And now, you know, he's had a setback. So are we going to have someone pop at that level week one? Probably not, but at the same time, you may well just have Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings starting week one. Like, that's a possibility, and that's not scary to me.
I wouldn't say it's scary, but it's just all of our guys have question marks. Even Ayuk took a few years to develop. None of our guys really pop right away. But anyway, let me continue painting this beautiful picture here. But you're holding this rose. It has some petals blooming. But there's a couple thorns. You prick your finger. You go, damn, we missed one. There's still a thorn here. I think that thorn is Jake Moody, my friend. I am sick of that dude. Can we just – why does Kyle Shanahan have this affinity for these hardworking white guys? Like he still has River Craycraft on the practice squad, I think. Like, is that not crazy? Like, I mean –
Is River still on the practice squad? Hey, hang on, Rick. Grandy, is River Craycraft still in the practice squad?
I've definitely heard his name at some point recently, but I can confirm.
No, this conversation, Rick, I'm just going to be honest with you because this is the way we like to do our show. Like, let's just put it all on the table. I did, like, your call was going really well. I did not know you were going to take a right turn and suddenly say that Kyle Shanahan likes hardworking white guys. I didn't know that we were going to go that way.
It's not a bad thing, but these guys don't turn out to be very good at times. And it's like, man, just get rid of him.
They do have some pretty good white players on the team.
And he's a Seahawk right now. So.
Oh, Craycraft is it. All right. I mean, Kittle, McCaffrey, Purdy,
Juszczyk. Yeah.
But anyway.
Bosa.
I don't want to make it about race. But anyway, what else, Rick?
As you're looking at that beautiful rose, you look over and you see a huge thorn bush and you go, damn, we fell into that bush last year. My cousin fell into a thorn bush once. Not nice.
Oof.
So last year itself was a thorn bush accident altogether. So, yeah, I'll wrap it up by saying that. But it's a pretty picture until you fell into the bush. But all right, fellas, nice talking to you.
Candlestick Rick, everybody. Yeah. Cleaning the house.
Way to bring it home.
And bringing up race with regard to roses and thorns. But
Jake
anyway.
Moody gets he gets a final shot.
Yes.
And
but I like that you're saying it that way. The leash is short.
Correct.
Very
Even though
short.
They used third-round capital, Kyle Shanahan's not going to laminated play sheet his way down the field in a game where they're down by two and get stopped at the 30 and send him out for a 47-yarder and watch him miss. That's just not going to happen. Well, Shanahan's going to do... He's going to find someone else. The ghost of Robbie Gould.
For sure.
Robbie Gould. And
kickers are replaceable overnight every week in the NFL.
Right.
So, but I'm with you where it's like I'm fine with where they sit now, which is you get one more shot. But you know what I worry about with Moody? He might be one of those when the lights come on guys because he did it again today in practice. He went 7 for 7, and two of them were over 50 yards long. And I think it's why the Niners are still like, no, this is our guy. He was hurt last year, and he was young the year before that. And so now he's gone through, and he's changed his windup and all of these things, and we think he's going to have a good year, and he's having a really nice camp. Great. What's he look like in Seattle when the lights come on September 7th? If you miss a late field goal that's, shorter than 58 yards in that game, like, I don't know that I wouldn't be advocating, like, move on that day. Like, he's got to be really good. He doesn't need to be perfect, but he needs to be really good.
When it counts.
Yeah, because Moody right now, like, everyone knows he's got the leg, he's got the this, he's got that. But dude, when the kick is really important, he misses it. Like, it feels like he misses most of those. Not all of them, but most of them.
And I'm never going to excuse a guy for being injured because when you play, you're playing, and when you play, you have to play well. However, I will say that last year with the ankle injury, it clearly affected him. And, well, that's a bummer because you still have to go out there and do your job, and he didn't. I also think that the new two-step approach is really going to help him be more consistent.
Oh.
It cuts down on that extra third step. It's just boop. And he's got the leg strength to where he doesn't need the extra run-up. I think he's going to have a good year.
I hope so. Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line from 216. Pick up Justin Tucker. Yeah, so that's not happening. Justin Tucker.
Right.
Justin Tucker. You know everything that's going on with Justin Tucker, right?
I know what happened before. I don't know the latest,
but he's gone. The Ravens have cut him. He's had all kinds of legal issues.
All kinds.
But what other people, which you may not be remembering, is he also sucked last year.
Yes.
He was terrible.
And I would attribute it to a lot of it probably was this.
Maybe. He's also getting old.
38 or 39. He's an older kicker.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
And something Steiny said earlier, Steiny and Goo together again, actually was the sound that they played from Baldy, where you don't know when a player's decline is going to start until you actually see it.
No doubt.
And he mentioned Earl Campbell, the great Houston Oiler from back in the day, where Baldy was his teammate, and all of a sudden it's like, you just can't do it anymore. And that applies for Justin Verlander, Steph Curry, Trent Williams, every player who's getting long in the tooth, and even Christian McCaffrey. It might happen this year where he has lost a step.
Sometimes it doesn't even happen because of age.
Right.
I mean, I'm thinking of some names that have come up on this show last couple of weeks. Todd Gurley.
Good call.
That's it. Le'Veon Bell. Night. Done. And by the way, Tucker's not as old as maybe you and I thought. He's only 35. But Tucker's career, I believe, is over. I don't think Justin Tucker's coming back to the NFL.
I don't either.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to see him. He was bad last year and a problem. So, Theo in the East Bay is next. Hi, Theo. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, what's up, boys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, just to touch on this Rose and Thorn things. Look, for me, the thorn for the 49ers, you guys touched on it with injury, but it's depth. I mean, if any one of our big guys goes out, Fred, George, CMC, Trent, God forbid, we got fringe pay players who are barely making the league backing them up. So, yeah, for me, that's a thorn. But I did want to touch on a good thing that I think is a positive with the Rose. I think it's that QB room. We got Purdy, and I'm a believer in Purdy, just like a lot of you guys, but also Mac Jones. If anything happens to Purdy, I trust Mac Jones to go in there, win us a few games, and keep this thing rolling. But, yeah, enjoying the show, guys. Cheers.
Theo, thank you very much. The QB room, I will say this. Look, I largely very, very much hope that we do not see him this year, but I do think the 49ers are better prepared this year if they get the kind of injury that usually happens to quarterbacks. I know we're all scared of the, like, he's out for the year thing, but I'm more tuned into the idea of, like, what if he misses a game? Like he did last year when they went to Green Bay and they couldn't even function. I think the 49ers are better prepared for that kind of an injury this year if Mac Jones needs to come in and play a game, two games. If he's got to come in and play six games or more, I'm not saying he's not allowed to win them, but I think that the drop-off will be great. But I do like where they're at in terms of a one or two game fill-in.
Feels a little bit more like 23 when they had Sam Darnold, who was a highly drafted guy who hadn't worked out and came in, learned the system, and he didn't even play more than, I think, the one game for the Niners, if memory serves, in 2023. But he learned enough and went to Minnesota and then flashed and popped and got paid, and now he's in Seattle. And so if you're Mac Jones, you're thinking, I want what he had, which is a year of tutelage and maybe a couple of spot starts and spot appearances. And then, all right, guys, who out there needs a quarterback? Because I'm Shanahan ready. He got me ready, and he'll only be like 26 when that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of interesting. I guess Darnold is maybe only he's the only sort of shining example, if you will. But I do know that a lot of quarterbacks, especially now that Brock Purdy has solidified his spot, a lot of quarterbacks who are in that spot are kind of looking at the Niner backup job as rehab. Like, it's quarterback rehab. I'm going to go there. I'm going to learn that offense. You might get a chance. If you do get a chance, you probably got a pretty good chance to put up some decent numbers, and maybe you can parlay that into a gig elsewhere. It is one of, and I don't want to go down this road at all, but just since we had the conversation yesterday, it's one of the things that concerned me for a while about Trey Lance. When people are like, okay, he needs a different quarterback room. He needs a different spot. And I'm like, this is pretty friendly. This should bring out the best in you if you're a quarterback. Kyle Shanahan's history is that quarterbacks, whether they're good, great, bad, or anywhere in between, they're a better version of themselves with Kyle than they usually have been somewhere else. That's been the, not across the board, but mostly the history.
Look at Jimmy Garoppolo where he hasn't, you know, Raiders and now the Rams, he's a backup. And, you know, other quarterbacks have gone on to not do much elsewhere, Beathard and Mullins, and that's to be expected. And I don't even know where Dobbs is now, if he is somebody's backup or if he's fighting to be a three. Allen, the same thing. Brandon Allen, who would be somebody's backup at best. And those are guys who just aren't quite talented enough. The only other reclamation project that I was thinking about, Mark, is Baker Mayfield. And just looking at what he did with the Rams, that year they were really bad. Stafford got hurt. John Wolford started games. Bryce Perkins got a start. And Baker,
I don't even remember that name. Did you say Bryce Perkins?
Bryce Perkins.
Who are you?
One start.
I don't even know that person.
Yeah, threw a couple of picks, and they lost the game. Stafford started nine games, got hurt, and Baker went 1-3, and I think he got hurt, but then he went on to Tampa, and his career has totally turned around.
Yeah. Was Carolina, though, after the Rams?
Before the Rams,
it was before the Rams.
Yeah.
And he went straight from the Rams to Tampa? Is that right?
Yeah, and I think this is now his third year in Tampa. Yeah.
Carolina had both Darnold and Baker.
Right.
Yeah.
And didn't do well with either of them.
Yes, correct.
They kind of went back and forth like a ping pong. Sorry, I didn't want to bring that up, but like a ping pong match, and like they didn't really get a whole lot from either one of them. So, I mean, another example that I think is something we don't love to admit in the NFL, but it exists, which is that your surroundings matter. It's used as a weapon so often, especially with quarterbacks. We want you to just be this dog, this Tom Brady character, wherever he goes, you're going to win football games. And sure, that'd be great if you're that amazing, but your surroundings matter. My favorite example always being Kurt Warner, who was incredible with the Rams, incredible with the Cardinals, but in between he stunk with the New York Giants. You know, Matt Stafford is another great example. He's a good quarterback, but they couldn't really function and do anything at a high level with the Lions. And then he went to the Rams, and poof, they win a Super Bowl. So
yeah,
your surroundings matter, and that's not a criticism.
No, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah,
but
go ahead.
The sneaky great example is happening in front of us, Geno Smith. Because when he went to Seattle, surroundings, good coach, good GM, weapons, he had his four best years, and now we'll see what he can do with the Raiders because Geno was an eyelash away from being out of the league, right? And Seattle got into their spot where no more Russ and we need a guy. And he went there and I was just looking at his numbers, 76 TDs to 36 picks. That's a good 2-to-1 ratio.
That's
and
strong.
Completed 68.5% of his passes. And, you know, he led them to some winning seasons and whatnot. And so Geno's an example, I think, of reclamation, but also surroundings. And we'll see if the Raiders can, you know, continue the Geno momentum.
Yeah, he's viable. He's not going to win you the whole thing, but he's viable. I always look at this in sports. It's one thing that for a while, and we'll get to this later, for a while I looked at it as a feather in the cap of Bob Melvin because Bob Melvin was the manager with the Padres. Prior to that, he was the manager. I know that there was the D-backs in there. There was the A's. But when you start to see, when he gets the job and you start to see players coming as free agents to join him, that says to me that on some level they had a good prior experience. Same thing when you see Pete Carroll grab Geno Smith via trade to come be the quarterback of the Raiders. It's like they were together before. And obviously, he's not the best quarterback in the world, but his head coach thinks something of him. He thinks that he can, you know, move the ball and win football games with him. So they must have had some sort of a positive experience together. I view that as a feather in the cap for Geno Smith. And I do think that the Raiders, while they won't be great, I think they're going to give people some games. I think they're going to give people problems here and there from week to week sometimes.
Agreed. I mean, they've got some excitement on their offense, to be sure. They got a running back who I'll be interested to see where Ashton Jeanty goes in our draft in particular. As, you know, running backs tend to fly off the board early. They got a great tight end. And just looking at the Mike Sando quarterback tiers, Geno Smith is dead center of tier three. Almost every vote was tier three. He got 6 tier twos and a tier four, but Geno is the 19th rated quarterback, and that sounds about right.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I look at that whole division now, in fact. I thought, and by the way, still taking your calls, 888-957-9570. What's your rose for the 49ers right now? What is your thorn for the 49ers right now? 888-957-9570. Andy Reid was talking, I think it was with Kay Adams yesterday, and he was talking about how he thinks that AFC West is going to be much more challenging to win this year. And the first thing he said, and I don't know why this hadn't really occurred to me, but he goes, "It's great coaches in this division." And it just popped. I was like, oh, man. Look at that. Like, I don't know why this didn't hit. I think three of those teams are really good, and one of them is at least just kind of mediocre on paper. That's how I see the AFC West. But yeah, look at the coaches. Look at those four names that are coming at you. Pete Carroll, Sean Payton, Jim Harbaugh, and Andy Reid. And you got to play 6 of your 17 games against those opponents if you're one of those teams. That's going to be, I think that is going to threaten to be the best division in football this year.
Yeah, if you just look at the coaches, the coaches part of it, you've got, Andy Reid is 4th all time. You've got more than 560 wins in the NFL. And if you put Jim Harbaugh and his college success in there, then you're talking about an elite group. And just looking at Harbaugh's win-loss percentage, he's at 685 in the NFL, which is only 6 years, right? 5 with the Niners and now 1 with the Chargers. But that puts him top 10 all time in just win percentage.
And he's the only one in the division who's not won a Super Bowl, but he's won a national, you know, he's been in the national championship. He's been to a Super Bowl. Like, these are really, really well, they're going to be very well coached football teams. And in theory, should be all pretty good on defense. Even the Raiders. Pete Carroll, very, very good defensive coach. So anyway,
Kansas City is the one for me that I'm going to keep a close eye on. I've already declared in our bold predictions that they won't even make the playoffs. And a lot of that's based on just the regression to the mean of some of the luck factors.
Totally.
When you go 11-0 in one score games, I don't think that they're going to go 11-0 again. And if they do, they're going to make the playoffs.
Congrats to you.
Yep.
Yeah, Paul in Oakland next. Hi, Paul. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good. Thank you very much. Good afternoon. I've been listening to your latest little segment and talking about quarterbacks, and I have a question for you guys.
What's that?
What is your opinion? What's your take? Do quarterbacks generally, not factoring in the coaching and all that, but do quarterbacks have a greater impact on winning teams' games or losing teams' games?
Ooh. Huh.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
God, it's hard to separate the two.
I think it varies from team to team, honestly.
It's hard for me to separate the two because their play is what your question, it's sort of on which it pivots. You know what I mean? Like, yes, if they play very well, that I think is the number one key thing to winning. If you're going to force me to an answer, though, Paul, I'll pick the losing one. I think if they play poorly, it very much can lead to a loss directly. If they play well, it'll lead to a win, provided that their defense is not doing what the Bengals do each week. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I go back to the infamous Bill Walsh assessment of Steve DeBerg when Steve DeBerg was the Niners quarterback. And he would always, I mean, in press conferences, when asked about DeBerg, he would say that DeBerg played just well enough to get us beat. And I was listening to some of the names you threw out. For example, like a Geno Smith. Is he more of a guy that's going to help your team win a game, or is he going to be a guy that more apt is going to play well enough, but at the end of the game, he's going to mishandle a snap, throw an ill-advised pick, or just make a play that would fall into that category of being a losing type play?
Yeah, probably that second one more often than not, but, you know, not a bad player. Hey, pair of tickets to Saturday, August 15th, Rays Giants at Oracle Park. If you'd like to win, all fans can enjoy a City Connect concert featuring Saweetie following the game, giving away two pairs today, 3 o'clock hour, 4 o'clock hour, courtesy of Levi's. For now, just keep listening. And remember, you can always buy tickets at sfgiants.com. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. What's your rose? What's your thorn? For the Niners, 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibbs.